Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, as always, JD. And with me, the one and only Mouse in the house.
Yo, what up? What's going on, JD?
Not too much, man. How about you?
Yeah, man. Same old, same old. Same old stuff for the House of Mouse.
The house. Hey, we had some faithful listeners asking for you to host. We might have to switch roles. We might have to switch roles soon.
But do you think he meant it, or he's just trying to take a shot?
Probably just. I don't know. You're a good dude. Yeah. Maybe he means it in all his heart.
Nah, I don't know about that. I told you I'll always be your Robin.
Goose.
I could. Nah, don't call me Goose. That guy dies. I have a habit of saying that. Like, talk to me, Goose. Right. Just a phrase that comes out pretty often. And when I tell my wife that, she gets mad because she always tells me that Goose dies and not to call her Goose.
Well, at least they had such a good friendship. I think it's more of a term of endearment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not morbid. It's more like, dang.
Yeah, Goose. For sure. Yeah,
he was a good dude.
Yeah, man. He always had Mavericks back.
You ready for the new movie?
I'm stoked for it, man. I cannot wait. But I don't know if we mentioned on here or just offline.
We did. Yeah.
I'll be having a little baby around that time, so we'll see. We'll see how it goes down.
All right. Well, what anything else going on in the House of Mouse? You just gearing up for the baby?
Yeah, man. It's been quiet. Nothing too crazy. Yeah, man. Nothing too wild. What about over there? How's the new puppy?
Puppy's good. Wild. It just riles up my already loud house.
Yeah, I bet.
So, but today we found a scorpion in my younger son's bed.
Oh, in the bed?
Yeah, bro. So.
Oh, no.
I have a feeling they'll be sleeping with me tonight in my room.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the wife already decided that, so.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so we get the pest control guy coming. When we first moved here, we had scorpions, and then they were gone. I don't know if it was the rain last night that pushed them back over here or what, but he was there.
Dang. Who found him?
My 5-year-old.
He found him?
In his room, yeah.
Oh, no. What was his reaction? Did he freak out? Was he like?
Oh, he freaked out.
He did.
Which is funny, because when we first moved here, he was probably 3.
Yeah.
And he was doing a puzzle on the floor. And a scorpion just walked up right next to him. And he didn't freak out. Maybe because you're young and he didn't know any better. Now he knows what they do. So.
Yeah, we try. You know, we kind of teach our kids that fear, right? Like, I get mad at my wife. Like, if she sees a bee, she'll freak out. And she'll get my girl freaking out, my little girl. And I'm like, hey, relax. Like, don't freak
That's
out.
True.
Like, don't, because they learn that stuff from us. So. I know I try to fight it, but it's hard sometimes. I have to tell my little girl that she sees bugs and I'm like, it doesn't have teeth. Don't worry. It's nice. Like, there's no teeth. It won't bite you, but
that's a good point, man. Look at you. You're ready for fatherhood.
I'm trying, man. I'm reading books. Man. I'm listening to audio books, doing all sorts of stuff.
Parental podcasting.
Yeah. I got another one called The House of Mouse. You can find it on iTunes.
Check it out. Diapers and Salsa coming soon.
There you go. Yeah, man.
All right. Well, the House of Mouse is in order.
Mm-hmm.
The House of the Spurs came up for debate this week. It was announced that the Spurs will play 4 home games away from the AT&T Center. 1 in Mexico City, 2 in Austin, and 1 at the Alamo Dome. So naturally, Spurs Twitter reacted very maturely.
Yeah, I bet.
No, they freaked. You know, there's a certain sector of Spurs Twitter that's very doom and gloom about anything. Like if Popovich is seen at a restaurant, they'll be the type, well, look at him. He's not preparing for a game. Why is he killing time eating? He should be studying film. Like, just like that. They attacked DeJounte Murray, which I don't – that's the weirdest part because the step he took this season, but whatever. So naturally they ran with this, right? Oh, the Spurs are moving. This is the first step. Spurs are moving. Before I get into my long winded rebuttal to that. What came across your mind when you heard this?
I don't like to see it, right? Like, it can't be good. I don't like to see them flirting with other cities. Like, no matter what,
okay,
how we try to spin it, if attendance was up, the AT&T Center was rocking and rolling every home game, our fans were there through thick and thin, they wouldn't be trying to travel, I don't think, and try to gain or attract new fans. And so I think it's our own wrongdoing. Like, we've made our bed, now we got to lay in it. As Spurs fans, we watch the games. It's, you know, midweek games, and the bottom half of the AT&T Center is like 50% empty, right? The third quarter comes and everybody leaves at halftime. It's our fault. If you're mad and you're not at the games, you should be mad at yourself.
Okay.
So, like Puffy says, rock the vote, right? You need to go out there. You need to go out and attend some Spurs games. And I'm guilty of it too, because I didn't go to any games this year. So I can't be mad at them for it. I don't think it means they're leaving, right? I think it means they're just trying to do what they can do to bring in some more fans.
Okay. So I like that you took responsibility. You took it from a different angle, which is the fans' kind of fault.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. What are your feelings?
I see it more as a way to grow their TV audience. Because in sports, the number one revenue generator is TV contracts. You always hear, especially in the NFL, well, when the new TV rights come in, the salary cap will go up. That's where these... And if you're ever wondering why baseball has so much money to throw around, it's because they get massive local TV contracts. And the reason they do that is, what, there's 162 games? Yeah. So it's 162 days of content. So they get paid very handsomely for that. Same with the NBA. The Spurs get a nice check from Bally Sports to cover most of the games. And I don't know when the Spurs contract is up with Bally Sports, but if you can up your TV audience to include a major piece of the Austin market and Mexico, that gives you more leverage as far as negotiations. There's a reason why they went to Mexico City, which is one of the most, if not the most, populated cities in the world. If you could become Mexico's team and you could become Austin's team, not in the sense of moving there, but just, hey, here in Austin, we cheer for the Spurs, just like the Cowboys in San Antonio. That's how I would look at it. If you're a Spurs fan, look at how Jerry Jones covets the San Antonio market. The Spurs are trying to do that in Austin because it's up for grabs. Austin has never been a pro sports city. But maybe with all the movement there, maybe
a lot of money.
Maybe the pro sports market is coming. Because I've been to Austin during NBA playoff games, and the bartender wouldn't even care enough to put it on the TV. You know what I mean? They just don't. It's not a pro sports market.
Yeah, college. But maybe with
transplants coming in, it is a pro sports, more pro sports market, and the Spurs want to become the team of Austin, like the Cowboys are, you know, the team of San Antonio. So that's how I see it. Another thing, too, is you have 41 home games.
Yeah.
You have a few to spare to do this, right? To play with the market. Look at the NFL. NFL teams only have 8, maybe 9 home games a year. So those things are coveted. And the NFL still makes a few teams play in Europe every year because they're trying to go for an international market. So it's the same concept. The Spurs are just doing it on a local scale. And it's also a rarity, right? I was trying to think of another NBA team that could do this, but I don't know if another NBA team is close enough to a major city that would be an attractive TV market. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of is the Jazz or the Lakers going to Vegas for a couple of games. Or maybe the Clippers going to San Diego, or, you know. But other than that, there's not a lot of big markets. maybe the Oklahoma City Thunder going to Kansas City for a game or two. But I think it's a unique way of doing it. And I mean, and again, they have four home games to play with, and they're using one of them to stay in San Antonio.
Yeah.
They're going to be at the Alamo Dome.
What do you say to the fan that looks at it and says, you know, you talked about the transplants in Austin. There's a lot of big money in Austin. Dell, who's a part owner, is it Austin? You know, maybe Spurs are going to be looking to move to Austin if we don't give them maybe a new stadium or an arena in 10 years.
There's a lot of hurdles for that. One, the Spurs are just broken ground on a new, what is it, practice arena facility, like $500 million that they're investing into that in San Antonio. The Moody Center, which just opened in Austin, that's another thing. It only holds 10,000 people for basketball. Mm. It's purposely built to be small for college basketball. So Austin, Texas is literally knocking down a big arena and replacing it with a very small arena. That was the intent. Because, you know, UT is not a basketball city or basketball school. They don't need 18,000 tickets.
Yeah.
10,000 is perfect. And if you drive by it, have you driven past the Moody
Center? No, I haven't.
It is very, very small. You can, it's this small. It is so small that it's right off the highway.
Yep.
And you can barely see it.
Huh.
Like if you don't know it's there, you're going to pass it without noticing it.
Wow.
And it's right off the highway. It's a small arena. It's a great place probably to watch a concert because it's so small. But that's one obstacle. And another one too is San Antonio's growing also.
Yep.
And they have the market to themselves. You can hear my new puppy. have this huge market to themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Austin, they'd have to share it with the soccer team. They share it with Texas, UT.
So no long-term worries for you in terms of Spurs moving?
I think if anything, they're going to continue to build a bridge between San Antonio and Austin as far as we want to be Austin's team.
Yeah.
We have our minor league team there. They've done some cross promotions with UT in the past. I'm guessing that's going to continue since they're going to be playing two games in the Longhorns home arena. I just think they're trying to grab that market. And honestly, I'm okay with it. There's 41 home games. I went to three of them. I went to three. And if there's four less for me to go to, that's okay. Matter of fact, go play a game in Corpus.
Yeah.
Corpus loves the Spurs. They probably won't do it because they already own the market at such a high rate, but that'd be a nice gesture to the fans. Hey, they have that downtown arena. I don't know what it holds, but it's probably roughly the same size as the Moody Center, if I'd imagine. Mexico City's cool. Alamo Dome's really cool. I think that's a great idea.
Are they going to have the curtain up like they used to?
You got to, man. You got to have that blue curtain, right? Yeah. You got to make the floor look the same with the Fiesta colors, the blue curtain.
I can't think of that Spurs playing there without thinking of David Robinson, right? Like, I just immediately think of like David and Avery.
Yeah, that was their era. They used to have the big banners of the two retired players. I think it was Johnny Moore and George Gervin.
Yeah.
It'd be cool to have that big blue curtain, but with all the titles.
Oh, that'd be nice.
You know what I mean? Or go old school and just put up those only the banners that they had back then.
It'll throw that'd back.
Be really cool too. Yeah. Do that during Fiesta.
Oh.
But and of course, when the time comes for a new arena, I think the city will cave in and give them a new arena.
Yeah.
And if I had to guess, because I know everybody's, that's another thing. Okay, where do we put the new arena? Should they put it between Austin and San Antonio? That's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Because Austin's growth is going north. The soccer team plays north. If you put the Spurs in New Braunfels or San Marcos, that just makes it too far for everybody to go to. Put it downtown. If I'm going to call my shot now. In the next 20 years, the Spurs arena will be where the Institute of Texan Culture is at right now.
Oh, okay.
That's where they wanted to put a new AAA baseball stadium. I spoke to the manager of the Institute of Texan Cultures when that was going around, and she said, yeah, we're probably going to tear this down, and we'll move to UTSA's campus. Because UTSA runs the museum right now.
Oh, wow.
And I think... I'm telling you, man, I don't just shoot from the hip. I do research. I try to be a logical person. So it'd be a great spot. It'd be great for UTSA because I think the next step as a big institution is to have a museum on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Institution of higher learning. I think that'd be really cool for UTSA. They could even put it near the downtown campus if you want to keep the museum downtown. A great spot for the arena right in the middle of the city. So much to do now. So that's what I'm saying. When it's time for the new arena, they'll flirt with New Braunfels, I think. And maybe they'll flirt with Austin. I don't know. I don't foresee Austin building them an arena. I'm gonna say it's right in Hemisphere Plaza.
That'd be nice. Right under the tower.
Yep. Oh, that'd be beautiful, right?
Yeah.
But that was the big hoopla for Spurs Twitter. As soon as that news dropped, I was like, oh, here we go. That's gonna gain traction real quick.
Yeah. Did you see? And I feel like DJ DeJounte Murray was like listening to our podcast last week because we were talking about LaVine possibly coming in, the ties they have. And then I feel like the next day he tweeted a
picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of him in a Spurs uniform.
And then LaVine has not been committal in his comments about the Bulls. I said it last week. If the Bulls offer him a max contract, he'll probably stay there. If they don't, we're a legit option. I'm not going to – I don't want to oversell it, but Murray's the leader of this team. And him tweeting that picture out, that's something.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, he's coming. I'm just saying if the Bulls don't max him out – our chances are going to be pretty well if we're willing to max them out.
Yeah. Hey, one other Spurs thing I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you saw this. It's kind of you had to have been paying attention. So all season, you and I on the podcast have been talking about Primo and his trips to Austin. And where does he stop? Is he getting...
Oh, you got an update?
Not really an update, but just a little bit of information that might change our topic. So the Spurs Instagram, and they probably put it out on Twitter and Facebook, but I'm more active on Instagram, so I saw it there. The Spurs Instagram, maybe about 5-6 days ago, put out a video of him talking. They're like sitting down. Him and Jay Rich are like sitting down at the table talking. And I don't know if you caught it, but they're talking about Jay Rich is telling him he needs to learn Spanish and learn his directions. And Primo is saying he Ubers everywhere because he doesn't have a license. So he's not even back and forth. I know he's got a girl, so I don't know if his girl's driving him back and forth. But he said he doesn't have a license, and you know, Jay Rich is talking to him about teaching him how to drive in his G-Wagon.
I'm sure the Spurs drive him then.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably have a driver, you think, taking
Not him everywhere, back? But from between Austin and San Antonio, there's probably a handler that does that.
Yeah, so I know we're talking about Buc-ee's or the outlets, but I'm back on he's not making any stops. Whoever's taking them, they're getting straight there and straight back. So,
you know what? You're probably right.
Yeah. So hopefully look for Primo. You might see him at the DPS taking his license test with a trooper because he said he's going to get his license. He said he's going to get his license. So.
Can you imagine working at the DPS and then Primo comes in here in San Antonio?
Yeah. Yeah, man. They probably wouldn't even know who he was. Who knows?
But it depends. Yeah, it depends who it is.
Yeah, for sure.
I saw them talking. I thought they were talking about red and green salsa, right?
Were they? I don't know.
No, I didn't see the conversation.
Yeah, that might have been a different one.
Isn't it weird? Not weird. Isn't it good that the Spurs have taken to Richardson real quick, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
The fan base, for sure. But it seems like the team just likes him real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he seems like a good teammate. And it seems like he's almost like a leader already on the team. I mean, he filled in right away, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, primo update.
We got some NBA updates. Are you watching the playoffs?
Yeah, I have. I've been, you know what? I haven't been watching too much, but I am locked into that Golden State Memphis because that series just intrigues the heck out of me. So I've been glued to that one.
Makes sense.
What about you?
Well, that one in the Bucks Celtics just seems fun. I guess because the Celtics took out the Nets, so in my mind, they're serious contenders. And then they even the series with Milwaukee real quick. So those two are the series that I'm looking at. And they're also the ones that are tied, right? I was going to ask you this too. Are you surprised how good the Heat are again as a franchise, right? Because they're up 2-0. They were in the finals during the bubble. They rebuilt nicely after the big three with LeBron, Wayne, and Bosh.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like they fly under the radar and are just like secretly really good, really, really fast. You know, once they added Jimmy Buckets, it seemed like they're a different team.
And that should be why the Spurs go after a Zach LaVine type of player. Because, the Heat built a lot through the draft, but they also landed a top flight free agent.
Yep. And a scorer, right? A bucket getter.
Exactly, which is exactly what the Spurs need. So I just want to bring that up. I know the Suns are up 2-0 in the Mavs. I did see, and I don't know how much truth. So I follow a lot of Cowboys Twitter, which obviously will bleed into Mavs Twitter a little bit.
Yeah.
And it seems like a lot of Mavs fans were upset with Luka, which is weird to me.
Really?
Because he's put them on the map again. And
yeah.
You know, speaking of franchises, you know, back on the map. I did see Luka take some heat from the fan base. Which I don't, and I get it. NBA is a lot different. I think fans live and die with each game in the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mood was, you know, your mood swing. Oh, so and so sucks. You know, they came out cold for a game or maybe even a whole series. But I thought that was interesting, especially. I would imagine Luka could walk on water in Dallas right now.
Yeah, I mean, the first game against Phoenix, he scored 45, and this past game, he scored 35. I mean, what are they asking for? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I just saw a little – I didn't dive deep into it because I don't care about the Mavs, but I did see that. It is crazy to think that they're down 2-0 and the Suns are just that much better.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's one series that's a little shocking to me. I mean, I guess the Heat and 76ers as well, but that one especially, I didn't expect the Suns to. I mean, they won by 20, I think, last night. So
the Sixers too, because they've got two stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know Harden doesn't come through much in the playoffs, but you still have two stars.
Yeah.
And the Heat are handling business, but we'll see. I mean, like they say, a series doesn't start until a road team wins. So those two series are back. You know, both the home teams of those series are up 2-0. So nobody's done anything shocking. So we could be talking out of our ass and the Sixers and Mavs make a run by next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a good finals. There's a lot of – I think it's the best of both worlds. There's plenty of star power, but no team is stacked, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got Tatum, Giannis, Ja Morant, of course, the Warriors. I don't have to name their stars. Butler, Lou. I mean, just every team has star players, and it's pretty even. Like, it's even money right now, I would imagine, on who's going to win it all.
Yeah, I don't know how you place a bet, like, if I'm betting. It's tough.
It is, and And I know, yeah, it's here's another thing about overreaction. I think after game one, or maybe after both games, people were talking about how good Giannis is. Like, oh my God, he's going to get two in a row. And is he going to eventually pass up Tim Duncan? And yeah. I was like, Jesus, he hasn't even made the finals yet. Like,
yeah, relax.
But it's fun as an outsider, right? As someone who's not doesn't have any skin in the game this year, you do see how silly we are. And I'm sure we were just as silly when the Spurs were in the playoffs. So I'm not gonna bash him too much, but I do see the overreaction.
Yeah.
Anything else from the playoffs?
No, I think anything else is standing out. No.
All right. Before we move on to our big topic, a little baseball news. I think the Astros and Rangers both started out kind of cold.
Mm-hmm.
And they both started to heat up. You're seeing them both climb the AOS rankings. The Astros are two back from the Angels. The Rangers are 5.5 back, but they've won 4 straight games. So they're quietly creeping up also.
Yeah.
So for you Texas baseball fans, state of Texas baseball fans, I think it's going to be a fun year. Both, like I said, both teams are starting to creep up.
We both, you and I both bought new baseball hats this week.
Yeah, I got the baby blue Rangers.
I'm rocking. I got the new Space City hat.
All right.
Yeah, man.
We are ready. You could tell we're Spurs fans because we're ready for baseball season.
Yeah, no kidding.
Forget the NBA playoffs. Let's watch some baseball.
No, but that baby blue Rangers hat that you're rocking, that's man, that thing is clean.
Thanks, man. I went to a game last year in Arlington and they were sold out. I was telling you off air, I went to Temple, Texas. My in-laws live there and they have a mall. I would say the equivalent of Westlake's Mall. But it has a Dillard's.
Wait, do you think people know Westlake's Mall? Like other than us, like because we're from Marbach. Like, do you think people from like the north side of San Antonio, like, is it a mall that rings?
Nah, rings. I doubt it, bro. Like, because it was never big. It never had those big anchor stores like Dillard's or Foley's.
There was a Montgomery Ward's.
There was a Montgomery Ward's. It was connected to a Target, which I don't know any other mall that had a Target.
Oh, man, that Chinese food restaurant that was right outside that Target.
Was me good. And my mom would go there all the time for lunch. That was our spot.
Yeah.
Had a Camelot music.
Camelot, man. I bought many of CDs or tapes.
Oh, there. Me too. Had a Luby's.
Luby's, yeah, it did.
But that was a dead mall. It was never a big mall.
No.
Because even us, right, we grew up in Marbach. We had to go to Ingram for most of our stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
You're not going to knock out all your shopping at Westlake's Mall. You're going to, you know.
No.
It had a Chick-fil-A back when those were only in malls. That was, it had that good for it.
Had a Robotar, which was best arcade back in the day for us.
Man, you know what? So my wife wants to start making shirts. I might have to make a Robotar shirt.
Oh, there you go.
Or maybe get Marbach Apparel to do it.
Yeah, was that the only – was it only in – Westlakes, or you think it was a franchise like in multiple malls? It was just Westlakes.
Oh, it was just Westlakes. It'd be an OG. Like, man. I'm not gonna sell many of those shirts.
Yeah. There's two of us right here.
Yeah. I'll sell one to Gilbert at Gilbert's restaurant.
Yeah. No, there you go. Put it on the wall.
But yeah, so I went to the Temple Mall and they actually had the baby blue Ranger hat, so I had to get it.
Dang. Sometimes you got to go to those ones, like the stores or the people there don't know what they have. And they need to just sit there on the shelf.
Yeah, and I think, too, it's pretty close to Dallas, so there's a good Ranger market there. It's only about 2 hours probably from the Arlington Stadium. There's probably a big Ranger city as well, so shout out Temple Mall. I didn't think we'd ever shout out. That's probably the most random shout out we've ever had on this podcast. Yeah. But speaking of hats, a bunch of new college football players got some new team hats this weekend. We had the NFL draft. You like that?
I did. I wasn't paying attention. I mean, I heard it, but I wasn't really listening, I guess, because I was looking at some notes. But yeah, that's cool. Good one. Good segue.
Hey,
you're a professional. Prepared.
you're better prepared. That's the word on the streets. All right. I've tried to. No, I haven't. I'm not going to lie. I was texting you all weekend, but I try to avoid getting like your full thoughts on the Cowboys draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try.
Because I'm trying to get it on here.
Yeah, we get it. We have a big group text, and there's always a ton of Cowboys talk. But I know you like to hear it kind of fresh from me, so I try not to chime in on that too much.
So what are your thoughts? I want the mouse unfiltered. He's had a week to digest the draft. He's Mr. Jerry Jones. I'm sure you probably sent him a get well soon card after his car accident.
Yeah.
But what did you think?
I thought for a second it was you trying to take him out up there.
I haven't been anti-Jerry lately.
I did think of that, and I was like, nah, JD's been on
Jerry. Maybe it was Errol Spence. He's been in a few accidents.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Man, you know what? I'm unsure. Like, I think this draft is so risky. Like, the players we drafted. So I'm I'm definitely unsure on how I feel about it. Like, it's a wait and see for me. Because it's just like, I don't know. We took risks kind of all over the board. You know, we talked about Linderbaum in the first. He was there, and then we passed on him, right? And so we drafted Tyler Smith, and it's just like, I don't know. He seems, I don't want to be like too optimistic. He seems like he'll be a pretty good player, but there's also a risk with him where he's not going to shake out, right? A lot of people didn't have him graded in the first round. And so
okay. But the Cowboys did.
Yeah, the Cowboys did for sure. They knew, I think I saw Jerry or maybe Mike McCarthy say they've been locked in on him since like December. Will McClay said that,
yeah.
That they've been locked in on him since December. And of course, Jerry said he was the highest rated they had, and you know, they were going to take him. So, interesting.
Hold up, before you go, we know this for a fact because Jerry showed his scouting report card. And of course, the internet did its job. They filtered out and they were able to get a clear picture of Jerry Jones draft board, and they only had 16 players with first round grades, and Tyler Smith was number 16, and he was the only one available when they picked. So they picked someone that they graded out as a first rounder, and they did indeed have him rated above the other guards in the draft.
Yeah, when I saw Uncle Jerry do that, I was like, what is he doing? And they kind of took like Steven a second, Mike McCarthy a second. They're like, no, don't show that. And Jerry's just trying to prove a point by showing it and saying, no, we really did have him graded higher. But yeah, so he did that and kind of showed the cards to everybody. So I don't, you know, that I got to trust, you know, their ability to draft. They've done really well at drafting, right? I think I saw, and I wish I had the article or I had the stats, but I remember a couple months back reading an article that said like the Cowboys are like top two or three in drafting their own Pro Bowlers since like 2010 or something like that. Like there's only one or two teams that have done it better than them. So they do a really good job of drafting. And so I got to trust them. And it kind of reminded me of the Primo pick in a weird way. Because I wasn't happy with Primo, right? I think it's a stretch. Yeah, I think it's a big reach. I thought Tyler Smith is a reach. But then it came out that they were in trade talks with trading back their pick. And after it fell through. And after they picked, the team called Steven and said, hey, good thing you didn't trade with us because they were going to draft Tyler Smith.
Yeah, and Jane Slater reported that two NFL teams told her that they also were going to take Tyler Smith.
So that's again, very, very kind of resembles Primo, right? We heard the same kind of thing with Primo. I didn't like the pick, and then other teams were going to trade up for him, right? And so other teams had him graded higher. So
that's a good point. That is very similar.
Yeah. So I didn't want to be all about the Cowboys when I gave the Spurs grief for doing that. But I kind of feel the same way. I'm not sure. You know,
so mature today.
I know, man. I'm about to be a dad again. You know, it's just different.
Man, look at you. It's
different. Nah. And then, you know, Sam Williams, yeah, I think he has a lot of upside. And the theory is kind of like draft the rush and worry about the rest later, you know. And so he rushes really well. He's got a really good long arm, and he can usually beat up those tackles. But we'll see how he does as a run defender and all of that stuff. So overall, I'm not sure. I'm like, I don't even know what to say. What about you?
Are you concerned that they drafted for need too much?
No, I don't necessarily think that wasn't okay. A concern. I think my bigger concern is it was a bit of a reach or a stretch on some of these picks. But again, I gotta trust their draft board. So if they're doing it because they had them, you know, graded higher, then it's the right move. But if they're doing it because of a need, then that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah. So I going into this draft, I told myself two things. One, I think I said this on the podcast too. Don't freak out if they pick somebody or whoever your team is. Don't freak out if your team picks somebody that wasn't on whatever mock draft you Google.
Yeah.
Because this year's draft was so wide open, more than usual. It was harder to judge, even for mock drafters.
Yeah.
And I also said, if they addressed the interior line and wide receiver within the first three picks, I'll be very happy. So they did those. They did that.
Yep.
So I like it. When they drafted Tyler Smith, I was upset at first. My first reaction. But again, I was breaking my own rules. So I was like, Tyler Smith, I didn't see him on any mock drafts. I saw Tyler Linderbaum, you know,
before. The wrong Tyler.
Yes. So I almost, for 2 minutes, I broke my own rule, right? And then I said, you know what? I got home from, you know, I went to Big Hops with a few friends and watched the draft. I got home.
Thanks for the invite.
And I well, you live over there in Austin with the Spurs.
I feel like Big Joe, like you're not even inviting me to stuff. You're just going it's messed up.
So that I got home and I probably spent about an hour, 2 hours watching Tyler Smith videos, scouting reports, everything that was pre-Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want it to be slanted one way or the other. So I was like, okay, what did people say about him before the draft? And then I started to like the pick a lot. I liked it because he's an offensive tackle. He's a left tackle in college. The scouting report was he's extremely physical. He's extremely he's a gifted athlete, but he's big. He's real big and he's mean.
Yeah.
And he graded out as a fantastic run blocker, but he gets a lot of penalties. And from what I could tell, it looked like he has a few issues with the edge rushers. And he has a few issues identifying a blitz off the edge.
Yeah.
Because he's supposed to block whoever's the furthest, you know, the most outside rusher.
Yeah.
So then I thought, okay, well, and if they slide him into guard, it takes that away where he's not trying to cover edge rushers. He's blocking big guys. And he's an outstanding run blocker. He's big, nasty, physical.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make an ideal left guard. And he reminds me a lot of Leonard Davis. Mm. Leonard Davis was drafted as an offensive tackle. He was drafted extremely high, and he was serviceable. He didn't live up. I think he was drafted like top five, top 10 by the Cardinals. He didn't live up to that billing as a left tackle. Well, the Cowboys signed him to a massive contract as a free agent, but they moved him into guard because he's a big physical guy with a mean streak. And he ended up being, I think, a Pro Bowl guard for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Tyler Smith reminds me a lot of Leonard Davis. I think his traits point to a nice run-blocking guard. And I know they said he'll start off at guard, but they would like for him to continue to grow as a as a tackle prospect,
yeah,
to potentially take over for Tyrus.
77. Yeah.
Now, that's a good way of approaching the draft. That's a smart way of allocating resources. I think he's going to become a really, really good guard really quick, and I think he stays there.
Yeah,
and he's so mean. He's such a nasty mean player. It just fits a guard mentality.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people were talking about the penalties, right? Because it was just an emphasis, right? Going into next season, we want to eliminate the offensive line penalties. It hurt us so bad last year. But Steven, I think Steven or Will McClay again, I don't know who said it, but one of them pointed out the kid's only play, he's young. First off, I think he's 19, right? 20?
No, he's 2021.
Okay, 20.
He's young.
He's very young, and he's only played 16 college games. Like he doesn't have a bunch of experience even in college, and so his technique is just a little has been pretty bad, and when he's gotten out of place and his technique was bad, he's held. And so it's something that they said it can easily be coached up. Like he has the physical ability, right? He's big, he's nasty, he's strong and mean.
Yeah.
And if they just correct the technique, which is coachable, then he's going to be able to be a really good player for us. So
I think he's going to be a fantastic guard right out the gates. Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm calling it right now. He's already an amazing run blocker. I'm willing to say right now that they improved their offensive line from last year. And here's the thing, because if you're a naysayer, you're going to say, well, Connor Williams was a tackle in college and we slid him in and his issue was holding.
Yeah.
The difference is Connor Williams is built like an offensive tackle. He's an athletic lineman. He's able to keep up with the speed rushers. He should honestly be a tackle. The Cowboys use him as a guard because he was very good at pulling because he was so athletic. But he wasn't strong enough to keep up with the tackles, the defensive tackles. So he would get bum rushed a little too much and would have to hold. Tyler Smith's not getting bum rushed. He's a big, again, nasty, mean guy. Where I think Tyler Smith's going to excel at guard real quick. Sam Williams, the edge, he looks a lot like Randy Gregory, right?
Yeah.
Kind of a bendy, shifty defensive end. I think under Dan Quinn, he's going to be real good quick. I can see him already being the third down specialist where he just rushes the passer. And he fell to the second round because of off-the-field issues. A lot like Randy Gregory.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels a lot like that. And then the wide receiver, Jalen Tolbert. One thing that interests me about him, he's a downfield threat, right? They say he's a guy that goes up and wins 50-50 balls. He's got a great catch radius. He's someone that you want to push down the field with. And it makes me think, because Michael Gallup's the same way, are the Cowboys looking more at running the football and then play action deep with guys like Tolbert and Gallup, and then maybe have a guy like CeeDee Lamb be more underneath?
Yeah.
Where you give him the ball in space and watch him work. It seems like that's going to be the mentality of this team. I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. They did take a tight end in the fourth round, Jake Ferguson, who is getting rave reviews. I was watching some Senior Bowl tape on him, and they said he's got some of the best hands in the Senior Bowl.
Seen that,
He's a blocker. Comes from Wisconsin, so they said he's always chip blocking. So he doesn't just run routes. He's always chipping somebody, then running routes, which is something the Cowboys really covet. I like that. The only other draft pick of note I would say is it Damone or Damon Clark?
Yeah.
Linebacker.
Yep.
He probably won't play this year because of an injury, but they said if he was healthy, he'd be a second round pick.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a redshirt year for him, but great value with one of your fifth round picks. And the other thing I'm excited about is they picked up a kicker. They didn't draft him, but they picked up the Texas Tech kicker. I honestly don't know his name right now, but his stats were amazing in college. I think he only missed one field goal attempt. He made a 62-yarder to win a game.
Mm.
And I think he was 100% from extra points. So they did address that. Kudos to them. I do think their draft is a wait and see, like you said. I think most drafts are. But if I had to eyeball it, if Tyler Smith is your starting left guard, that's a good sign. If Jalen Tolbert is your number three receiver, at least by October, that's a really good sign. And if Sam Williams, at the very least, becomes your third down rushing edge, that's a good sign that this draft went well.
Yeah.
You also need Jake Ferguson, the tight end. He needs to be your tight end, too.
Yeah, he has to.
If he does not earn that job, then that's a waste. But if he does, another good sign that it was a successful draft. So, and I said this last year, you should be drafting at least two starters. If you can get three out of it, you had a great draft. So we'll know more opening day if this is a good draft.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and judge it. I do like some of the prospects. I'm not going to pretend that the other ones that were drafted, I have high hopes for. If it's just depth, it's depth. But again, if those three things, if your top three picks get serious playing time in their rookie seasons, it was a good draft. Anything else from the draft that stood out to you?
Not necessarily draft related, but now that we've seen the draft, do you think they go out and sign any of these veterans that are available, whether it's like Clowney or Beckham or J.C. Treader, I think would be a good ad at center.
I think Julio. The only one I would say is J.C. Treader.
Yeah.
Because if you plug Tyler Smith at guard and then Treader at center, now you really upgraded your offensive line.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind that at all. I don't know if they'll go after a defensive end just because they got Dante Fowler, Dorrance. Not that those guys are better, but they seem to have quite a few of defensive ends. I could be wrong. They could say, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's take a flyer on them. Let's add as many bodies and see what sticks. I wouldn't be mad at that. But that room's starting to fill up quick. I don't know.
I love J.C. Treader, but what I'm looking for is I think we got to add one of these like veteran wide receivers that are out there. I do not like our wide receiver crew that we have.
So you want like a Will Fuller?
Yeah, there's some other guys that are that are out there. Who was I looking at earlier? T.Y. Hill is available, right? I mean, we talk about inside or underneath guys. He's available. He's not going to spread he's not going to be going downfield, but he'll make some of that underneath stuff and just bring a little bit more veteranness to the wide receiver room. It's a new word. Just made it up. But I don't know. We'll see. I was trying to pull up our here we go. Emmanuel Sanders is available. I mean, I don't know about Danny Amendola. We talked about Odell Beckham, Marquise Goodwin, Mohamed Sanu. Names you can kind of fill in and help our wide receivers. Because let's see if I can get back to our wide receiver list that we have right now. Like our wide receiver
room. CeeDee Lamb, Gallup, Washington, Tolbert, Noah Brown,
Semi Fehoko.
Semi from last year. Yeah, from last year.
TJ Vasher.
Oh, yeah. I like TJ Vasher.
Yeah, so it's not, I don't know.
You want another one. Okay.
Yeah, I want, someone once said that I love names, names.
You a name.
Yeah, so I want another name in our wide receiver room.
Okay. What did you think about, let's start with the Giants, because the NFC East had a lot of draft picks in the first round.
Oh, man.
The Giants picked up Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yeah.
And Evan Neal. I thought that's a good draft.
Yeah.
I thought that's a good draft for them. I'm glad as a Cowboys fan, I'm glad that they're still sticking with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they could have gotten a quarterback in that draft, and they didn't. So right off the bat, I do like that. But they their first two picks, they addressed the line of scrimmage on both sides.
Yep.
So I thought they had a good first round. I think Thibodeau at one point was looked at as the best prospect in the draft. Now, he fell a little bit, but the Giants didn't let him fall too far. Still picked him up early. Evan Neal, offensive tackle for Bama. He's going to be there. I'm guessing he's going to be there. You draft someone that high, he'll be your left tackle. So they addressed, they did go after the line of scrimmage, which I guess so did the Cowboys. So that's good. The Eagles got Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
Nose tackle from Georgia. He's a war daddy.
Yep.
If you're looking for a silver lining, ESPN pointed out during the broadcast that he likes to take plays off. Did you see that?
Nah, I was watching NFL Network.
They were showing a lot of film where if it was a pass rush, he would just stand straight up and kind of like,
No way.
Yeah. So that's a plus if you're a Cowboys fan. Now, the Eagles also traded one of their first-round picks for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, and then, it's huge.
As a Cowboys fan, and as someone that's – if you've listened to this podcast, you know I think paying wide receivers is stupid. I also think a lot of championship-level teams think it's stupid. So I think people are on board with me. So I'm glad the Eagles traded for A.J. Brown. Because they could have just drafted a receiver with the pick they traded with, which is what the Titans did. And I think they lost a third-round pick as well to do that. So as an Eagles hater, I'm glad they did do that trade.
I don't want to see that guy.
You know what?
I don't want to see that man in our division. He's a bad man.
Yeah, but they were going to draft a good receiver anyway. So at least they're paying for him. They're paying premium dollar. Instead of having two first-round wide receivers not making much money but being good, they've now invested heavily in that room, but it takes up a piece of their pie. And they're another team that did not go out and address the quarterback position, which, again, I'm excited about. I don't like Jalen Hurts, so I'm glad he's going to still be the Eagles quarterback. Because quarterback position is so important that right off the bat, if you're looking at who's going to win the division, well, Dak Prescott is head and shoulders above everybody in that division. Say what you want about the Eagles receivers, but again, I'd rather they pay top dollar for an A.J. Brown than draft one of the receivers coming out this year. So sign me up for that. They did draft N'Kobe Dean, the linebacker from Georgia. So they went double dipped on Georgia. That is a good pick. Some had him as a first-round grade, and then he fell all the way to the third round. So kudos to the Eagles for that. So they're beefing up their front seven. They drafted I guess they had a big gap in between their third and third round pick, they didn't draft to the sixth. Okay. So they didn't get crazy. They added two studs, I think, in the front seven, but other than that, I'm not as worried as other. I mean, there's always an instant reaction. There's always and people were so scared of the Eagles because they traded for A.J. Brown, but not me. I'm good. I'm good with that. What did the Texans? I like their draft a lot too. They drafted Stingley, and who was there? I'm trying to, who did they take that I really liked? They drafted the Baylor safety,
the guard.
So Kenyon Green, that's right.
Kenyon Green, A&M. That's right. Yeah.
So they got Stingley Jr., who many thought might be the best corner in this draft. Kenyon Green, and then Jalen Petrie from Baylor safety. So they addressed their secondary.
I thought it was funny that those first three picks were like all played like 2 hours from Houston, right? Like they were all close colleges.
That's true, right? LSU, A&M, Baylor. Good call. They all get to stay close. They drafted a receiver in the second round, John Menchie, wide receiver out of Bama. I really like their draft.
Yeah, they did one.
I think they drafted four starters right off the bat. And if Davies, the quarterback, pans out, then they might be a little bit better than most people give them credit for this year. One thing I read, just since we're talking about the Texans, I did read where their general manager he likes blue chip college players. He pays attention to their high school rating. I think in his mind, he goes, okay, if they've been a blue chip all their life, chances are they're going to continue. And on the flip side, if a five-star recruit doesn't do as well in college, he feels like, hey, maybe it was the bad coaching. Let's get him later in the draft, and we can coach him up. He likes pedigree. He likes high school pedigree. It's not a bad way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. Didn't he come from the Patriots? Isn't he part of that coaching tree?
I believe so.
I wonder if that's...
So I think his first two draft picks were five-star players. I'm guessing that Bama wide receiver. Without looking it up, I'm sure he was a high four-star.
Yeah.
Those guys recruit at a high level at wide receiver. Sarkisian was recruiting a lot of those guys at wide receiver at Bama. So I thought the Texans did a really good job of drafting. I guess it's nice when you like your quarterback.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is the teams we just talked about, right? The Texans, the Eagles, the Giants, they all seem to like their quarterback. What do you think of as a Cowboy fan or just in general?
Man, I thought I saw a lot of in the NFC East, right? That's most concerning to me. I saw a lot of interior defensive linemen or just defensive linemen and linebackers that are really top-notch players go to the NFC East. So that definitely is concerning, right? Because that defensive front, regardless of who we're playing, is going to be a lot stronger than they've been. So I think it was good, and we talked about that. I think it was good we win offensive line, right? We have to address that. So I thought overall, I thought both the Giants and Philly had good drafts. The Commanders, it was funny seeing Commanders up there for the first time, right? Because I think this is we haven't technically seen it. So
yeah, that's true.
I thought they had an okay draft. Nothing stood out, but the Philly and New York draft, I thought they did well.
Does it make you feel better that we drafted Tyler Smith then?
If he pans out, if he works,
yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I think we have to. We have to address that. And I think we might have texted. I don't know if you text me or I text you. Like it's something like all these NFC East guys are going, and these guys are going to the NFC East. We better draft a offensive line.
Because you said interior lineman, right? You have an all-pro future Hall of Famer in Zach Martin. If Tyler Smith pans out on the other side of guard, you're equipped
to
take on all these new stud, you know, like Jerry Jones calls war daddies.
War daddies.
All right. We'll talk more Cowboys as training camp comes and any news. There's always in the news. Texans, again, I really like their draft. They're betting a lot on Davies. Oh, that's another one. Davies, the quarterback, was a highly recruited quarterback. So he's another guy that they feel strong about. One thing that I got to give a shout out to Rod Babers, who has got a podcast, the Longhorn Blitz. He also has a show with Hardball Harge, who was a guest on this very podcast. If you're ever driving through Austin, you know, maybe catch a Spurs home game. they're on the radio. I think 104.5 or 104.9 from at 3 o'clock, maybe 3 to 7, 3 to 6, whatever it is. But Rod Babers is the one that pointed it out about the Texans GM liking pedigree. I want to give him, you know, the credit he's due. Also, shout out to Harge, friend of this podcast, and he was on our show maybe a little over a year ago. But yeah, he's the one that pointed that out. Any other, I'm trying to think. The draft was, I guess it's always crazy when quarterbacks aren't so high on the list, right?
Yeah.
But if Kenny Pickett pans out for the Steelers, they might not miss a beat. You know, Big Ben's retired. It's pretty cool that Kenny Pickett will go from the Pitt Panthers to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, that's neat.
So it's kind of like you hope it pans out for him. I mean, I'm not a Steelers fan or anything, but
it felt like New England, like how, you know, that quarterback
that's
just
true felt. When Mac Jones just fell to them.
Yeah, so
good point, man. You're on it today, man.
I'm focusing. Remember last week I was mad, I was tired, I was a little cranky.
That's right. We had a lot of tweets about that. I'm just kidding. We didn't. Malik Willis was drafted by the Titans. Before we move on, did you see what Ryan Tannehill said?
No.
He said, "I'm competing against him. I'm not going to help him."
Wow. There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that.
There is. What are your thoughts?
Oh, man. Because, I need time to maybe think about that a little bit, because your quarterback is the leader, right? You want him to be the leader in the team. Yeah. And I don't know, man, because I feel that's how they eat, right? That's how they put food on their table. So I can see what he's talking about. Like, you want to help him, but I think if he is, you know, if Malik Willis does eventually get the start, I think at that point he needs to immediately address it. But like, okay, I understand my role now. I'm two, and then I'll do everything I can to help him. But it just sucks because you don't want to say that. You don't want to say that out loud.
And he did.
You may not give him all your tips and tricks, but you don't want to say that out loud, man. Not as a leader of your football team.
So, with that in mind, like you said a few times, you're having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon. I spoke to HR. Spurgeon saw to HR.
Oh, shoot.
They are giving you paternity leave.
That's nice. I got it. I put in for it. I wasn't sure if I was going to get it.
They're giving you paternity leave. So somebody will fill in for you. Are you not going to give them any tips? You're known as a better prepared podcaster. You got notes going. Yeah. Are you not going to share your notes? Are you not going to?
No way, bro. Growing up as a kid, my dad taught me, like, if I'm not at practice, someone's going to fill in for me and could do a better job. So I'm not giving whoever's filling in for me, I'm not giving them any tips. I'm probably going to tweet from my burner account and say bad things about them. I don't want everyone to come back. I want you to have like a rotating seat. Like every week is someone new because it's so bad.
And that's what I want to do. That's the goal. I'm hoping to have some popular guest hosts. So HR is going to send me your schedule when you're taking off. So I'll know.
I think I may only have one more week on here.
Okay. Let me start trying to, if you're listening to this, oh wait, let me not say that, because there is listeners that want to be part of this podcast, and
yeah,
there's no way in hell that's coming.
Don't open it up.
If you're listening to this podcast and you're praying for my demise, but at the same time hoping for a spot on here, not gonna happen. And you know who you are. If you follow me on Twitter at Spurs and Salsa, you know who I'm talking about as well. We got a few stands in the audience.
Stands? Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I need to get on Twitter just so I can see that.
Well, you need to get on to make sure your new co-host doesn't take your job.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Before we move on, speaking of potential co-hosts and speaking of social media, on our Facebook page, Spurs and Salsa, there's a lot of lively sports talk, just San Antonio talk. Michael Jimenez from SA Sports Star, halftime show every weekday, 12 to noon. He put a question that he was battling with Carolina Teague.
Forgot about that.
So Carolina Teague, a friend of the podcast, major star here in San Antonio. She went on a Houston radio show, but to promote her going on Houston, she wore a throwback Rockets jersey. And Spurs Twitter, again, not the most mature or emotionally stable bunch, attacked her for wearing it. So then the discussion spilled over to halftime, which Michael Jimenez put on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
So I want to know your thoughts.
Man.
Would you ever rock let's not say a rival. Let's just say another team.
So there's a lot there. So absolutely not. Like there's no way, like no way possible that I would wear another jersey that's not a Cowboys jersey or a Spurs jersey. Like it's just not never gonna happen, no matter what. I don't care if it's a throwback.
You're a LeBron guy. You wouldn't rock like the old Cavs jersey.
No, never.
Okay.
I think the
oh, here we go.
No, the only one. I mean, I don't wear basketball jerseys, so that makes it tough, right? But like a 45 Jordan, right? Like that's the greatest of all time.
Okay, so would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I can maybe see an exception to that. But like there's no NFL jersey that I'd wear that's not a Cowboys. Like absolutely not. Even the Spurs, I don't think I would ever rock. Like I think it would be nice to have maybe on the wall, like an old Jordan jersey, but I wouldn't wear a Jordan jersey. But that I can kind of see it. And I know I don't even have to ask you because I know the same question. I know the answer is going to be the same as mine. There's no way you're wearing, I don't care whose jersey it is, that's not a Cowboys. Yeah, no chance at all. So,
we're on Team He-Manas on that side.
Yeah, she took a bunch of heat, and I don't want to say I spoke out of line, right? Because I said, you know, she needs to lose some stripes for that. But I guess I should have asked if is she a Spurs fan or just a Spurs reporter?
No, she's a Spurs reporter. She's not a hater, right? So she follows the Spurs. She's a member here in town, but she's a Bulls fan.
Yeah, so that's completely different. Like, if you're just here working, and you're not that's not your like ride or die team. How can you expect her to wear like it's okay for her not to wear a Spurs jersey? It's completely different, right? So, I think there's something to that, and I don't think everybody is on that same level. Like it, and if I think about like, and I'm not like that with every sport either, because if I look at baseball. Like if someone bought me a Rangers hat, I'd rock a Rangers hat, right? Like every baseball hat right now in my closet is Astros, but if someone bought me a Rangers hat, I'd rock it. So it's just like my passion or my level for the team or that sport, I think determines my stance there.
Okay, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I'm okay with that. I guess to me, the way I would see it too is. My teams have plenty of legends to rock.
Yeah.
Also, my teams have different colors. So if I want to wear black or silver, I got Spurs stuff.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a baby blue Rangers hat right now. I could wear blue or red or, you know.
Yeah.
Cowboys are blue and silver. Longhorns got the burnt orange. I think I got my bases covered, man. I don't have anything red, but oh no, the Rangers. I could wear a red Rangers hat or something. So I never would. So, okay, you said – maybe a Jordan jersey would be your maybe or a Rangers hat.
Yeah.
I was trying to think what I would wear. Because I was thinking, who's my favorite athlete?
What about this one?
Uh-oh.
What about a Wake Forest Tim Duncan?
Ooh, that's a good question, Mouse. That's a really good question. I know that's acceptable because a lot of people in San Antonio rock it.
Yeah, they have it.
That's right? That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would because they're not it's not a Longhorn rival, right? So I wouldn't rock I wouldn't rock a CeeDee Lamb Oklahoma jersey, right?
Yeah, no way.
But a Tim Duncan Wake Forest, that's a really good that's a good point.
Yeah, it's a popular jersey in San Antonio.
Yeah, it is. I think the Nolan Ryan orange Astros jersey is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one that Kanye rocked during the documentary. Yeah. That's really cool. I could see myself maybe doing that. He also played for the Rangers, though, so it's not like I would be.
Yeah.
That's an iffy one. What else? I really like Magic Johnson, but there's no way in hell I'd wear a Lakers jersey.
Yeah, no way.
I think if I wanted to honor Magic, it'd have to be at the old Michigan State.
Oh, yeah.
Jersey. But even then, I wouldn't pull the trigger on something like that. So I probably wouldn't. No. And I know people, and there's, we mentioned baseball hats. There's a lot of, I think because San Antonio's not a major baseball city, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk Rangers and Astros, but there's fans of the Yankees and there's fans of the Cubs, or, but nobody's diehard. Because even you mentioned you'd rock the Rangers. Would you rock hats of other teams? Like if someone got you the old school, now it's old school, Cleveland Indians hat, or one of those old Milwaukee Brewers, a cool looking one, or, you know, a hat you like.
Man, I don't, my passion for my baseball team is not like my level of passion for like UT, I mean, or San Spurs,
San Antonio, Dallas. We're like that. Yeah. So I think
I would.
I think you'll see people that rock different baseball hats. But it's a good question. I wish we could have got her on. Maybe when you're gone, I'll beg her to come on. We can continue this discussion. But it was
she took a bunch of heat, huh?
On Twitter, yeah. And I think people forgot that she's not a Spurs fan.
That would, if I was her, I mean, maybe she did, but if I was her, that would have been the first thing I point out. Like, I'm not a Spurs fan. Why y'all tripping? Like, y'all got to relax.
Yeah. And maybe that's what it was, right? Because it was Hakeem Olajuwon. It's a rival. Yeah. It's different. But I guarantee you, some of you Spurs fans got a Kobe jersey or something like
that. Yeah.
Or something Kobe related.
Yeah.
Kobe cooked us a few times too, so. All right, that's a good question.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I'm glad Jimenez brought it up to our Facebook page. So again, our Facebook page is very lively. Twitter is very lively. And then we'll get to Instagram in a minute. Before we do that, Mouse, the world wants to know, what are you watching?
Oh, man, I guess I'll talk about it at the end because I'm sure you watched it too, but I'll run through something else. So Man in the Arena, the ESPN Plus.
Oh, yeah, it finished.
Yeah, it finished. The Tom Brady documentary, 10-part, kind of, to me, it kind of resembles the Jordan Last Dance documentary. So, man, it was great. That last episode 10 was been pending for a while, and they finally released it last week. I think it was like last Tuesday. So I caught that, you know, it's his 10th Super Bowl run. It was the one with Tampa Bay, obviously. And it's great. So can't recommend that series enough.
Does that episode cover him being wasted in the boats?
Nah, you know what? I thought they were going to show him like throwing the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
I thought they would, but they did not.
No. Okay.
No, they didn't. So yeah, I was a little bummed about that, but it was a really good episode. I started watching They Call Me Magic on Apple TV.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah, man. I think I'm two episodes in, halfway done. And man, I guess I was watching it. I guess it, because it was before our time. Like obviously Magic was playing when we were little, but when he was in college, it was like 79, 80. You know, I wasn't born yet. You might have been at Magic. But
man, you know we went to school together. You know my age.
But I don't, man, there is so much hype around him, right? Like coming out of high school and then into college. And I just wasn't aware of that. So anyway, I'm watching that. They Call Me Magic. Apple TV, it's great. I also started an HBO Max show called We Own This City.
I want to start that. Should I?
Yeah. The first, I saw the first episode. That's all it was out. Second episode came out. We haven't watched it yet. It's one of those sometimes with new shows, like they try to develop like all the characters. You're trying to get a feel for what's going on. So it's definitely good.
Okay.
I'm going to keep watching just to see where it goes for sure. So I'd recommend watching it. I'm just, you know, not sure how it's going to turn out, but that's a good one on HBO Max. The Call Me Magic. What else? Oh, the only other thing is Ozark. So I wrapped that up on Netflix.
You wrapped it up. Okay.
Yeah, so we binged it over the weekend. I think there are seven episodes left. Did you finish it?
Not yet.
What?
Well, I've been driving. I drove to Temple twice this week.
Dang.
So between that and baseball.
Yeah.
I won't. And I forced myself to watch the first episode because a good friend of ours that also went to school with us, he said, man, seeing Ruth drive around and what she was listening to, it reminded me of driving around in your car and seeing your ear.
Dang, wait, which one? Was that the tank? Or is that a different?
No, thing? After the tank. The Geo,
oh, that was
the Geo Storm, baby.
The Storm, there you go.
Yeah. They did a great job with Nas's Illmatic.
That was good,
the fact
right?
They kept it, and the fact that they kept it going, it wasn't just like a 2-minute snippet.
Yeah.
It was the theme of the show. And
Killer Mike being there.
Did you? Okay. How much should we? Okay, this is not a spoiler. When she's talking to Killer Mike about Nas.
Yeah.
And he asks her, why don't you sleep?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know why I don't sleep. Did you take it as the Nas line? And I'm thinking this is exactly what they were doing, because at the end of the episode, they played that line where he says, sleep is the cousin of death. Do you think that's what they're talking about?
I didn't even put that together. Put that together.
When she said it, and then she says, you know why I don't sleep.
Yeah.
I told my wife, I bet they're talking about, because Nas says sleep is the cousin of death on this album that they're playing the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's the album they're discussing. And then I even said, I'm glad they didn't just flat out say it.
Yeah.
Because you got to leave things to interpretation.
Yeah. For hip hop heads.
And then at the end of the show, they play that song. They play that line in the song. So I thought, okay, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. No, I didn't even put that together.
All right. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks, bro. I appreciate it.
You know how old I am and how out of touch I am? I knew Illmatic. I knew every word. I didn't know that was Killer Mike.
Really?
I had to ask somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I'm almost 40 and I didn't know who Killer Mike was.
There you go.
So I'm excited to watch. I'm excited to finish that.
Yeah. So that's all that you've seen is just the first episode?
Yeah.
When are you going to knock it out?
I was going to say this weekend, but we got Canelo coming up.
Yeah.
I might try to do more. Maybe some Friday night. Maybe tonight after we wrap this up. I don't want to rush it because it's gone. It'll be gone.
It's gone forever.
But I am watching that. I'm watching on Paramount Plus. It's called The Offer. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm, no.
It's the story of the producer of The Godfather.
Oh, you know what? I did see that. I mean, I didn't see it, but I saw. I know what you're talking about.
It's the story of how much trouble he had making the movie The Godfather. They've released 3 episodes on Paramount Plus, and so far it's really, really good.
Really?
It's really, really good. With anything that's based on a true story, I always Google to see how true it is.
Yeah.
And there's debates on the details. The producer and the guy that wrote the book, he says all of this is true. Some of it's very true. Like, for instance, Frank Sinatra hates the movie. And if you've seen the movie, you probably know why. But he legitimately hates the movie. And everything with Frank Sinatra, well, I don't want to say that. A lot of what Frank Sinatra's in the show, well, somebody playing him, a lot of it's true. So that's interesting. 3 episodes in, I knocked them out. It catches your attention real quick.
Right away.
And then Paramount, they're not stupid, Paramount Plus. The Godfather and The Godfather 2 are on Paramount Plus. Oh. So then I just rolled in and watched both of them. So that's another reason I haven't watched Ozark. I rolled in and watched those 2 amazing movies on Paramount Plus.
Which do you prefer?
Ooh. Man. Part 2 might be the best movie ever made, so.
Oh.
But part one,
I know there wouldn't be two without one, but
yeah,
just by themselves. Yeah, I know it's tough. I don't know if I
it could. Is tough. That's a great debate. That's a good question. Ooh, that is a good question. I don't know if there's a better 1-2 punch though.
Yeah.
Of any movies.
No, I don't think.
Very hard to get that. So I watched those on Paramount Plus as well. And then I needed something to cleanse my palate. So I started watching How I Met Your Mother again. I just need something silly off the wall.
Yeah. Are you like starting from the beginning?
I did, yeah.
Oh,
I did.
Shit. Okay.
I don't know if I watched the last season, though. Right? Last season was horrible.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I had this debate on Twitter with people that love the show even more than me. And a lot of people seem to say that the last season ruined the show for them.
Oh, wow.
It's a sitcom, so I don't take it as serious.
Yeah.
Like, if the last season, I know the last season of Game of Thrones ruined a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah, it kind of ended really weird.
Yeah. But a sitcom I can watch. And you know what? I don't have to go all the way through. I can just see, you know, the stupidity and madness of How I Met Your Mother. So I did do that on Hulu. Oh, and still watching Winning Time.
Yeah.
I think you'll watch it now that you were watching They Call Me Magic.
Yeah.
And you'll see why the people that are involved hate the
show.
Don't
like it.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I got as far as what I'm watching. I mentioned our Instagram earlier. It is also at Spurs and Salsa. And the reason I mention it is because we end every show with a food review, beer review, something regarding San Antonio. And we have 3 years of review on there. So if you're looking for something to eat this weekend or whenever you're looking around town or a new beer to try that's local, go to our Instagram page because you will definitely find something. I guarantee you it's helpful. We got tons of reviews. We do the reviews on the podcast, but we'll post the pictures in the restaurants and the beer on our Instagram page. So you'll see something you like. I guarantee it. And this week I wanted to review Halftime Pizza. There's two locations. One's on Tezel, one's on Bandera and Eckert. It's the perfect blend of old school pizza parlor and a sports bar. They have a good sized bar, great beer selection. I just talked about local beers and craft beers. They have a ton of those on tap. I believe they even had the Troy Aikman 8 beer as well that we reviewed last week. Plenty of TVs. It's a great place to watch a game. I guarantee you'll love it. And the pizza is really, really good. They have a lot of specials. They're very active on social media, so follow them at Halftime Pizza, Twitter, Instagram. I'm sure they have a Facebook. I haven't checked that yet. But I'll tag them when we post this episode on all our social media platforms. I actually found them through social media first because they're so involved with local beer and sports, and I was not disappointed at all. I took my boys. Pizza was great. Again, if you're a pizza guy and you're a beer guy and you're a sports guy, which probably 90%
like
of our listeners.
Pretty cool, dude.
Yeah, this is the spot. I guarantee.
Wait, what's your pizza? What's your pizza of choice? What do you get on your pizza?
I'm a classic pepperoni guy. If I'm judging a pizza place, once I've been a few times, I'll start adding things like. I'm gonna regret saying this. I like.
Do it. You gotta keep it real. That's what we do on this podcast. We keep it real.
I like, you know, pepperoni and sausage or bacon or a lot of the meats. That I'm a pepperoni. There it is. But I'm a pepperoni guy, man. I'm a pepperoni guy. How about you?
Man, black olives and pepperoni. Extra olives. Extra black olives.
And pepper. Yeah, I knew you were going to say something weird.
Wow. Thanks. Now to make me feel special.
That's what you get. But yeah, Halftime Pizza is a great spot. I wish we would reviewed it during Spurs season, but if you're a baseball guy, you can have a slice with some beer, sit at the bar, or take the family. Like I said, it's mainly a pizza parlor with tables and booths, but there is a good bar. They even fill growlers. So if you're a beer guy that has a growler and you want to take home some beer, they will do that as well. So I can't praise it enough. Even the wait staff, like the waiter was talking about sports. He knew what he was talking about. Real cool guy. That was at the Eckerd location. But great spot. It's a sports bar that has great pizza. It's the best of both worlds. I wish I would have thought of a place called Halftime Pizza, to be honest. I love pizza.
Sounds like a winning combination.
Yeah, it is definitely great beer. I had a Viva, which is a great friend of the podcast. Great beer, great local beer. So it was San Antonio all the way around. All I needed was a Spurs game on TV, but go check out a game or just take the family. They have a lot of specials. Different days are different specials. They have teacher appreciation days. They have a ladies' night. I think they have wine. That's why. So check out their specials. Maybe you'll pick a day. I think one. I forgot what day it is. Kids eat free with an adult entree. So plenty of things to look for at Halftime Pizza. And again, we'll tag them on Instagram, tag them on Twitter, and if they have a Facebook page, I'll tag them on there as well. But next week we'll it might be your farewell episode for 3 weeks.
My farewell tour.
So we'll start lining up the guest hosts. I don't want to do just one because I don't want Mouse thinking his job's in jeopardy.
I don't like that you have guest hosts when I'm not there, because that's no fun for me.
Well, you told me to do that instead of having one get one host. So
Yeah, that's
come on,
true.
man. I'm trying to work with you.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I want.
Well, at least with the guest host, you can listen, with the bait with a new baby.
Yeah, that's true.
Something fresh instead of just my
Yeah,
voice.
there you go. But I like listening to
I know.
you.
All right. Until next week, go Spurs, go.